Good morning, everybody. Dr. Ben Edwards here. Welcome to another episode of You're the Cure. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to review a little bit of last week's show with Ashley, her testimony. That was awesome. Ashley and I talked off air, and there are a couple more points she wanted to make, so I'm going to do that for her. And then I'm just going to expound upon some of what we were getting into in that show last week. If you didn't listen, I encourage you to go back to, on the archive page or on Apple iTunes and listen to that. First, a few announcements. Sue Becker from Brett Becker. I've interviewed Sue a couple of times on the show. Those were probably two of our most popular shows. You can go back and find those on the archive page, which is on veritasmedical.com under the resource tab under podcasts. You just type in Sue Becker in the search bar and those two shows will pop up. But Sue's going to be here September 11th. That's a Monday night, 6 to 8:30 upstairs at the Merck. Seating's limited. Check out in the newsletter. If you're a member, getting the newsletter. Even if you're a non-member, you can get the newsletter. More details are in the newsletter of how to purchase that ticket. Also on our Instagram page, Veritas Healthy Community on Instagram. You can check that out. Hope for Cancer. Dr. Antonio Jimenez will be here in Lubbock at the Willows, the Beaton Bell Complex over on 82nd Milwaukee. That'll be at, I believe, 6 p.m. Thursday, August 31st, he'll be speaking on cancer and integrative treatment options. I'll be speaking after Dr. Jimenez on ways to prevent cancer. So again, seating is limited to that event also. So you can get details on Veritas Healthy Community Instagram page also or the newsletter. Next is our corporate wellness program is in full swing. We've got a couple businesses signed up, talking to a couple more. I'd like to get dozens and dozens more, because the goal is to keep people out of our office, out of our medical office, and out of every other doctor's office. And the way to do that is get upstream. We've got to get to folks with the truth prior to the bomb going off, prior to the heart attack, prior to the cancer diagnosis, prior to the autoimmune disease diagnosis, prior to all the trouble with fertility, prior to the chronic fatigue and all the things. And we got to get upstream. These diseases don't just come out of nowhere. They're the result, the consequence of diet and lifestyle choices that lead to inflammation at the cellular level. That's what we're designed to identify through the corporate wellness program. It's a unique blood panel and then a 1 hour personal one-on-one interpretation of that blood panel. Not the world's view of that blood, the Veritas interpretation of that blood. Is your insulin high? Is your blood sugar high, fasting blood sugar, 3 month blood sugar average? Are your inflammatory markers high? Is your iron high? Is your LDL cholesterol particle big, fluffy, which is healthy, or is it small, dense? Remember, the total number on your LDL is really not predictive of heart disease risk. But small, dense, pro-inflammatory LDL is associated with heart disease. Big, fluffy, healthy LDL, pattern A, we call it, is associated with health. So if you just do a regular cholesterol panel, you'll never know that. So the Veritas Corporate Wellness Panel will identify the pattern and particle size on the LDL. So we encourage your HR department, your CEO, the owner of your company, reach out to them. Let them know that we do offer this very affordable corporate wellness program that includes a unique blood draw, 1 hour Zoom interpretation. So we can do this with companies all over the country. As long as there's a Quest in your neighborhood, and even if there's not, we will find a lab that we can partner with and work with to get this blood drawn, do the 1 hour Zoom, and then get a personalized written plan of how to address the things that we identified in your blood as being out of the appropriate range. You can email info@veritasmedical.com to get more information on the corporate wellness program. Next announcement, we are in full swing still at the Merck with produce available from local farmers and gardeners. And thank you to those farmers and gardeners out there. I know it's been over 100 degrees, seems like all summer. Been sweating away out there to provide this high quality, nutrient dense local food. Remember, guys, these plants really deposit the nutrition into the produce when it's within a day or two of being ripe enough to fall off the vine. There's one phytonutrient called salvesterol. The plant doesn't deposit salvesterol into that fruit or vegetable until the last 48 hours. Salvesterol is an anti-cancer plant chemical. All of our ancestors were full of salvesterol. We are all salvesterol deficient. because we eat vegetables and berries and fruit that come off the vine a week or two early. So this is an opportunity to stock up, get your body fully replete for winter. Stock up now by eating local, fresh, nutrient-dense, vine-ripened produce from these guys, not only to support their efforts for local food production, but also to support your cells, your immune system, your brain, your hormones. Every cell of your body needs nutrition. So get high-quality local grown food, get to the farmer's market, go find your local gardeners and farmers. We've got some stuff at the Merck. Probably there's okra and tomatoes and potatoes and onions and melons, watermelons, peaches, maybe some cherries. Just go to the Merck and check that out, or get on VHC, Veritas Healthy Community, on Instagram and check that out. Okay, a few headlines real quick. Unfortunately, the epidemic of cardiac arrest amongst college and pro athletes continues. And high school athletes, very sad to report. Pinson Valley High School, that's in Alabama. Caleb Watson died this past week, a high school basketball player, of a cardiac emergency. A paper out recently by Panagis, that's Panagis, looked at decades worth of data on cardiac arrest in athletes and found it to be about 28 athletes a year worldwide would suffer a cardiac event, and now we're around 280 events a year. So that's a tenfold increase in cardiac arrest in young, healthy athletes since the COVID shots rolled out. Another study just came out of Hong Kong by Yu. 58% of young people that were diagnosed with myocarditis confirmed by MRI still showed presence of the myocarditis 1 year later. Study out of Germany. This was data out of the Lower Saxony, 18 and under. Vaccine injured kids. They extrapolated that to all of Germany to estimate 100,000 children in Germany with vaccine injury from the COVID shot. Data out of the UK released last week, 92% of COVID deaths in the UK in 2022 were in the triple vaccinated. Edward Dowd continues to uncover data, especially among the young working class 18 to 64 year old group. We had Ed on the show a few months ago. We'll have to get him back on here because of the new data he keeps coming out with. But he's being very aggressive in his comments, quoted recently on a program. Quote, they're killing people that continue to mandate these jabs at some universities. This is a crime. It's a cover-up. It's a murder at this point. Very stark, strong language from Ed Dowd from the data that is, at this point, I would say overwhelming. And unfortunately, we continue to not hear anything from public health officials locally, statewide, nationally. Confession and repentance is the way out. I've called for that for 2 years now or more now. So I continue to call for that. Confession and repentance is the way to bring trust and faith back to the masses. The masses, from my interaction with the public, there's little to no faith in the conventional medical system. I was on vacation this past week driving across Louisiana. There was a billboard for a hospital system in Louisiana. And the billboard said, "We hear you now." And another part of the billboard said, "The doctor will hear you now," instead of "The doctor will see you now." It was obvious they were trying to make a plea to the public that we hear you, we want to hear you, we're here for you. And I hope that's true. I hope more and more hospital systems are repenting and turning. I know a case I was involved with, Baylor Scott & White, is in litigation now. Not sure how much I can speak publicly until that situation is resolved. But from what I've seen so far, still not hearing confession or repentance. It's a wrongful death suit that the family brought against Baylor Scott & White. So still a lot of healing that needs to happen, a lot of change that needs to happen if we're to make any headway with the U.S. healthcare system. But that's not what the show's about today. Those are just some headlines to remind you that if you're still listening to corporate-sponsored media, you're not getting the full story. Okay, one last headline. I found this very interesting. Retinal artery scans. This was 2 years later. So if these patients were vaccinated with a COVID shot in 2021, and the point of this paper, or the conclusion, was that the spike protein is probably still being made, because in these folks, they still showed evidence of ongoing micro blood clots in these retinal artery scans. That was a published study by Lee and colleagues. Okay, moving on. Last week's show, Ashley was talking about her healing. One point Ashley wanted me to make that we kind of skimmed over and didn't really highlight was the fact that her liver enzymes, which were exceedingly high, and other blood markers too, they were out of whack, all normalized. In a matter of a month, they all normalized. When she, in the timeline of events, as you recall, she talked about having her personal aha moment, this personal just revelation and belief in a piece of scripture. When you get a hold of a certain truth in scripture, and specifically with her, it was related to the spirit of fear. And when she was able to really get it in her heart, it dispel that spirit of fear, get out from the influence of that thing, it changed something in her. And in her estimation, that is exactly what normalized these very, very high liver enzymes. Remember, she was on some immunosuppressants, some steroids, some drugs to suppress that immune response to try to deal with these elevated liver enzymes. And of course, she just come off the chemotherapy too. And within a matter of just a few weeks, she completely normalized off the medication. Now, some will say that's coincidence. Some will say that it would have happened anyways. You know, honestly, we can't say that for sure. Ashley's convinced. I'm convinced. And there's plenty of evidence. And that's what I'm going to speak to today a little bit more. The evidence that our thoughts, our beliefs impact our physical cells, impact our liver cells, impact our immune system cells. I mean, it is clear for even the staunchest intellectual, Western-minded person. You can go pick up Bruce Lipton's book, Biology of Belief. And he will go through the science of how your beliefs, how your thoughts can interact at the cellular level with your DNA. Switch on Your Brain by Caroline Leaf. She goes through the same thing. She quotes studies out of Harvard Mind-Body Institute. 98% of all diseases rooted in a thought. Caroline Leaf quotes from studies that show if you have a thought rooted in anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, it actually impacts the shape of your DNA. Your double helix tightens up. Joe Dispenza, Dr. Dispenza's book, You Are the Placebo. He goes through a number of studies that show just by your thought, your thinking, that you're getting treated with a surgery or with a medication actually does something in the physical cells, in the cartilage, in the ligaments, tendons, in the cells, in the tissues, in the organs, to affect them in the physical. A thought outside the physical impacts the physical. We've had Dr. Gerald Pollack on the show talking about the fourth phase of water, structured water, H3O2. We've talked about this in the past. There's more videos on our website about it too. The shape of water changes in response to the spoken word and thoughts. And you are mostly a walking bag of water. Your cells float in water, water outside your cell, water inside your cell. Your mitochondria, which we call it the energy factory, it's making ATP, but it's also making water. It's actually taking oxygen and glucose or fat and turning it into water. It's what hydrates your cells. That water is structured, H3O2. That water is actually like a liquid crystal microchip. It holds information. It holds memories. It is a fascinating molecule. And when you start to understand that we're one big bag of water and that our thoughts and words can impact that, the shape and structure of that water, which therefore in turn impacts the shape and structure of the DNA and affects genetic expression, which genes can be opened and read and expressed. It affects the shape and function of the mitochondria. It affects the shape and function of the ribosomes, the endoplasmic reticulum, the everything. Everything is floating in this water in the cell. So you could stay just in the intellectual realm and the Western mindset of science and proof and published studies and see clearly that thoughts outside of the physical realm impact the physical. And that's why Ashley, in her thinking, had an immediate change in the physical, in my opinion, in her opinion. And of course, the word of God makes it clear too. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The power of life and death is in the tongue. The Bible talks about sowing and reaping. There's lots of evidence, both secular and biblical evidence. So I want to take a little time to explain why I emphasize this peace pillar so much. My last three newsletter articles, which you can access those articles if you don't get our newsletter, we repost my articles as blog posts on the website under the resource tab. Just click there and you can scroll down on blog and you'll see the title there. Why I talk about the peace pillar so much, I think is the name of the title. Part one, part two, and part three. And basically in part one, I go through a lot of examples of non-responders. These are patients that just don't get better. And remember a few weeks ago, Giorgio Dinkoff, when we were talking about eating carbs versus eating fat and how eating fat long-term, too low of carb long-term, or fasting too much, that can drive cortisol. And we've seen that. We've seen people on long-term keto, long-term intermittent fasting without bringing in carbs at the right time, without bringing in feasting to match the fasting, without doing a more balanced approach to living, including building muscle or focusing on resistance training. It drives cortisol. Excess exercise drives cortisol. Cortisol shreds the body, shreds the brain, shreds your hormones, shreds your metabolism, shreds your sleep. Shred your immune system, destroys it, destroys your fertility hormones, destroys your testosterone and your progesterone, cortisol. And that's in part one, that was my point, was to say that, hey guys, every protocol out there, whether you want to go keto, you want to go vegetarian, you want to go hardcore exercise, you want to treat your Lyme disease with whoever, Dr. Cowden's protocol, Dr. Byron White protocol, Dr. Steve Hines protocol, Dr. Horowitz's protocol. I went to the International Conference on Lyme Disease a number of years ago looking for the one protocol and came away from there thinking nobody knows what they're doing, which wasn't exactly true, but every protocol, there were 10 different protocols presented in that conference. Every single one of them had success stories, and every single one of them had failures, had non-responders. In that part one newsletter, I talked about a mitochondria conference that I went to, put on by George Washington University Department of Integrative Medicine. And in that conference, they talked about the mitochondria is the key to health. If you don't have efficient mitochondria, you won't be healthy. Alzheimer's, cancer, heart disease, autoimmune, everything comes from a poorly functioning mitochondria. And they gave lots of ideas and suggestions on how to improve the mitochondrial function through supplementation, diet and exercise, sleep, different things. And I went back to that conference a couple years later and they talked about these non-responders and how people that just don't respond to the supplements, the diet and the exercise and all the things they'd recommended were in people who are chronically stressed. Non-responders are chronically stressed, meaning under the influence of cortisol. Morley Robbins, root cause protocol, he's talked about non-responders in his protocol are ones who have unresolved emotional conflict leading to chronic cortisol effects. Joe Mercola, the number one natural health guy on the internet, the biggest newsletter and website for natural holistic health, he said the same thing. the non-responders on the ketogenic, long-term ketogenic low-carb diet were because of cortisol excess that not eating enough carbs at the right time will create. IBS, 80% of IBS is small intestine bacterial overgrowth. I don't think I've ever seen someone completely resolve that and overcome that without bringing the cortisol level down. Definite, without a doubt, non-responders to SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, aka IBS, is from chronic stress driving cortisol up. Dr. Tom Cowan, we've had on the show a number of times, but go back and listen to the show. We talked about his book, Human Heart, Cosmic Heart. Same thing. The non-responders, the ones that have heart attacks, despite doing everything right. Chronic stress. I had a patient not too long ago, a number of months ago. He scored himself as A, B, pretty much A, B plus on nutrition pillar, hydration pillar, and movement pillar, and he had a heart attack. So when we talked about the peace pillar, it was an F minus. It was totally in the tank. It was a great example. If you ask your mitochondria to rev high RPM, you redline your mitochondria, which is sympathetic mode. Fight or flight, stress, put your mitochondria into redlining it. It doesn't matter. And I wouldn't say it doesn't matter, I guess. You can build some resiliency through a high-quality, nutrient-dense diet and good-quality hydration with minerals and structured water and decent exercise and sunshine. That will build resiliency. But you cannot overcome the effects of redlining your mitochondria, getting your RPMs through the roof. It will cause dysfunction. Your mitochondria will break down. You will flip to lactic acidosis, change the pH of that cell. Heart muscle cell in particular, if that's what we're talking about, heart attacks, that heart muscle cell will go dysfunctional. It will not contract the right way. That changes the flow dynamics in the blood vessels. That creates a collapse of the blood vessel wall. The body tries to stiffen that up through atherosclerotic plaque. And you follow that thing out, you continue to be in chronic stress mode. It leads to a blood clot because you lose your exclusion zone, you lose the structured water, you lose the charge along the wall of that artery, of the coronary artery. I don't have time to go into all that. Go back and listen to that show or get his book, Human Heart, Cosmic Heart. He explains that very well. Other non-responders, weight loss resistance. We see that all the time. People trying to do the right thing to lose weight, high blood pressure or high sugar, diabetes, even though they're doing everything right. It'll be the cortisol effect almost always. So that's the point. That's why we talk about this. That's why I talk about it so much, because I don't want to leave someone with a false sense of security, like the statins. So many people walking around taking a statin to lower their LDL. They don't realize that the statin lowering the LDL doesn't decrease their heart attack risk and their future heart attack risk, except by 0.8%. Less than 1% protective effect, because it's not changing the pro-inflammatory nature of that LDL particle from small dense to big fluffy. Only diet and lifestyle can change that. So they're still at risk. It's a false sense of security, walking around taking a statin, thinking they're protected. Very minimal, negligible, less than 1% benefit of as far as preventing this future heart attack. And I don't want the three pillars, people to walk around to focus so much on eating and drinking the right things and movement, and still be vulnerable, have a false sense of security that they're protected from all these diseases. Granted, they've built some resiliency up. There's some level of protection, but the biggest protection will be when you can walk in peace. So that's the point of part 1, 2, and 3 of my last three articles in the newsletter. It's the point of these podcasts that we do and these testimonials that we do. We want to flesh this thing out a little bit more. So part 2 on the newsletter, I really, stress that point that I don't want to leave anyone with a false sense of security that nutrition, hydration, and movement is what will reverse and or prevent disease. Also, stress management is not the answer. Stress management, self-help books, think positive, all these kind of things. That's a temporary fix at best. It's not deep enough and it's not long lasting. It's because your mitochondria, redlining it, sympathetic fight or flight mode, that whole switch is under the influence of your heart, of your beliefs, of your thinking, your involuntary thinking, really your deeper beliefs about you, about the world, about God. You can't voluntarily switch that, flip that switch from fight or flight to rest and digest and peace. You're going to have this underlying revved up, redlining, RPMs high, fight or flight mode, unless your heart is truly lined up with the truth that brings true peace. We'll talk about that more when we get back from the break. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're listening to another episode of You're the Cure. You can find this on our archive page, veritasmedical.com, under resource tab. Click on the podcast page and type in the search bar for whatever term or guest name that you want. Listen to last week's show with Ashley to be encouraged. All right, be right back. Stick with us. All right, everybody, I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. Welcome back to the show, You're the Cure. VHC on Instagram. You can sign up for our newsletter. Sue Becker with Brett Becker will be here on the Monday, September 11th. Dr. Antonio Jimenez will be at the Willows August 31st. We've got our corporate wellness program up and running, so get with your boss, your managers, your HR guys, get them in touch with us, and we can tell them all about the program. Okay, diving right back into Peace Pillar. And to expound more upon what Ashley was saying last week, and it's such a personal journey. That's the point. And I hope we made that point last week. This is not a formula. It's not a step one, two, three. It's a personal aha moment that people have these revelations, and they're ongoing. It's a narrow path that we're walking down. I got taught to enter the narrow gate, get to heaven, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior so you can get to heaven, which is true. But then no one really taught me much or at all about this narrow path of maturity, spiritual maturity, growing up in the Lord, so that we're not knocked to and fro so easily by every wind and doctrine, by every thought that comes along. So I want to dive into that just a little bit more. And I do use the Bible. Obviously, I'm a believer in the book. And if you're not, I want to encourage you, go to our video library page on our website and watch the 10 videos on why I believe. I find that it helps a lot of people that are more intellectual, black and white, trained up in secular education, Western mindsets, just our culture in general, the Darwinian evolutionary culture. That can speak to that and maybe open a crack in the door for your doubt and unbelief. Because once you can truly believe that that book is a supernatural book, it's basically the owner's manual, the how-to book. That's your self-help book right there. The one who created you with a purpose and an intention wrote a book to tell you all about it. So I'm going to kind of summarize this. And if you're not a believer, bear with me. If you are a believer in Jesus getting you to heaven, but you don't understand about Jesus getting heaven back into you, I encourage you to keep your mind open on this and then go study the Word and confirm it. So this book tells an amazing story about a creator, a supernatural being outside the natural realm who wanted to create offspring, heirs, children, however you want to say it. He wanted to create a creature who he could love as his own. Create a creature in his own image and likeness to be like him. And he could love them and they would love him back. And he was going to place them in this natural realm outside of time and space where he lives, outside of time and space. He created this other realm in time and space called Earth. He wanted to put these creatures in the earth and wanted to guide them and direct them and show them how to rule the earth, how to love each other, and how to love him. That's basically it. He is love. He wanted to create a being who he could love and could love him back. So that's, it's that simple really, guys. But in order to love, we have to have free will. There's no such thing as love without choice. Otherwise, we're programmed robots, just going around doing what we were programmed to do. So this amazing virtue called love would not exist without free will choice. And God knew this, so he set us up with the ability to have choice, to have a free will. He made us as a spirit being. He housed us in a physical body. He talks to us, communes with us, speaks to us through our spirit because he is a spirit being. And he talks to us spirit to spirit. But where this free will sits is in our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions. If we can keep that soul in alignment, keep our mind, will, and emotions in alignment with the truth, with our spirit, which is being informed by the truth, God, then everything's great. But there's this other voice, the enemy to God, the adversary to God. Scripture talks clearly about him. And this adversary can also speak to us through our soul. He can present a thought to us as he did to Matthew. When Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem, they're going to persecute me and kill me. And Peter jumped up. In the book of Matthew, this story is related, but it was Peter who jumps up and says, no way, we're not letting that happen. I'm not letting that happen. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Now, I don't think Jesus thought Peter was Satan in that moment, but those spoken words, that thought that Peter had did not come from the truth, from God. That thought came from the enemy, from Satan. And Peter spoke that thought into existence. In that story, Matthew, if you back up a few verses, you will see where Peter had a thought from God through his spirit man. Because Jesus was asking the disciples, who do men say that I am? And it says the disciples answered and said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the Old Testament prophets. And then Peter says, or Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am, Peter? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, yes, you're right. And flesh and blood didn't tell you that. My Father in heaven told you that. So there's a great example in Scripture of Peter hearing the truth in his spirit man from the spirit of truth, from God, and speaking it into existence, into the earth, into this natural realm. So thoughts can come from the enemy through our soul or from the Holy Spirit truth through our spirit. If you need more understanding of body, soul, spirit, get in the Word. The Word is clear. Some other scriptures, Paul talks about being sanctified through and through, body, soul, and spirit. Jesus in the garden said his flesh was weak, his spirit was willing, his soul was sorrowful unto death. Later in scripture, it says the Word is sharper than a two-edged sword separating soul and spirit. Back to the garden, Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. Just imagine walking with your dad every day in the Garden of Eden and your dad teaching you everything about the garden, about creation, about the animals, about the plants, about how the microbes in the soil talk to the leaves in the tree and the leaves in the tree talk to each other. I mean, it's just the amazing discoveries we're finally getting to here through science, through observation of God's creation. God was walking around the garden every day teaching his son all about the actual creation, all about how to rule it. How about the culture of the kingdom, how to love, how to sacrificially make decisions based off the benefit of those under your authority. So Adam could make decisions that would benefit Eve and benefit the animals and benefit the soil and the plants and everything. Anyways, that was spirit to spirit because God's a spirit. Adam walked with God. He communed with God spirit to spirit. And the point I'm making here is it says in Genesis, if Adam and Eve ate of that fruit of the tree, that first of all, it says they could look upon the fruit and see it was pleasing to their eye, but if they ate of it, their eyes would be opened. So how does that make sense? Well, their flesh eyes were opened. their body's eyes, body, soul, spirit. Their flesh eyes were open. The tree was, and the fruit was a natural thing in the natural, in the flesh. Their spirit eyes were open because they walked with God. So the eyes that got open when they listened to the liar, when they listened to the other voice that wasn't the voice of truth, their soul opened up. Those eyes to the soul opened up. Ever since then, they were separated from their father. They could not hear from the truth, the spirit of truth. That relationship was broken. Separation occurred. Adam, from then on, had to walk around with Eve. And everyone since Adam had to walk around on their own trying to figure it out. With the enemy constantly lying through their soul, whispering and tempting them in every way. And that's what Jesus came to reconcile and restore. He came to restore that which was lost, I mentioned last week in the show. Not who was lost, that was lost. That which was lost was this relationship. He gives us a ministry of reconciliation, reconciling us back to our Father, back to the truth. Holy Spirit has to come. Jesus said, I've got to get out of here. It's important that I go. It's so important that I go because the Holy Spirit's got to come. He's your comforter. He's going to lead you into all truth. He will live in you and you'll be a new creature, unseen ever in the earth before, a brand new being, a new creation. The great mystery, Paul calls it in Colossians, this new creature, a human being with the Spirit of God, which is truth, living in us, leading us into all truth. That's what Jesus came to do. So now we are reconciled to God. We're in relationship again. And yes, when your flesh body dies, you'll go to heaven because that's where God's at. And you're in relationship with God. You're not, don't have to be separated from Him anymore. But what Jesus bought and paid for was so much more than just getting us to heaven. He bought and paid for our ability to walk in the truth here and now in the earth right now. So back to cortisol. The non-responders in the physical realm, people who continue to walk in disease and in sickness, are they just missing a supplement or an IV or a protocol, or we're just missing some toxin or germ, Lyme, Epstein-Barr virus, fill in the blank virus? Are we just missing a heavy metal, a root canal bacteria, mercury from a silver filling? Maybe. But if there is so much power in our thinking to affect those cells for the good so that they can function better, then they will be able to repel these bugs, kill these germs, detox these heavy metals and glyphosate and all these things on their own or with very little assistance, very little help. That's why it's so important to not put the peace pillar last. So the way to bring cortisol down, I mentioned autopilot. This system is under the control of autopilot. Autopilot is your deep-seated beliefs, your thoughts, your filters, I call them. We all have filters that get put on us. Jesus was the only human that walked the earth with no filters. He's 100% saw clearly the truth every time. It says he only said what he heard his father say and only did what he saw his father do. When he came out of the wilderness, those 40 days in the wilderness, Satan tempted him, turned the stone into bread, provision, jump off the temple, call your angels to catch you, protection, come up to the mountaintop, kneel down to me, and I'll give you the authority over the kingdoms of the earth. That was a direct question trying to go after Jesus' identity. Those three areas, provision, protection, and identity, is usually where Satan's going to present questions to us. And I want to reiterate, he's a defeated foe. What Jesus did on the cross completely defeated the enemy. Every spirit of fear, totally defeated. Spirit of fear of dying, sickness, and death, that's totally done. Fear of lack of provision, done. Spirit of jealousy, spirit of competition, spirit of shame, guilt, condemnation, spirit of performance, man-pleasing, unlawful responsibility, unworthiness, doubt and unbelief, you name it. Any thought that's not of the kingdom of God, that's not from the truth, the book of truth, then it's from the kingdom of darkness, the defeated kingdom, The only way this kingdom has any power and ability to get anything done on the earth is through the thinking of a man, a man or woman, of mankind. That's it. Completely defeated, utterly powerless, nothing. Except if he can fool us, trick us into believing a lie, into taking a thought into our being, percolating on that thought, believing that thought, letting that thought become an influence on us, an interpreter. Imagine being in a foreign country and you don't speak the language and you have to have this interpreter. You have to totally rely on that interpreter to tell you everything that the person's trying to tell you in their native tongue. How do you know that interpreter's accurate? He could be influencing you for some ulterior motive. Well, imagine that every circumstance you're walking through today, every conversation with your spouse, every text message you get, every email from your boss, every piece of news you turn on the news and listen to, every social media feed that you read, every piece of mail that you get in the mailbox, every piece of data coming in through your eyeballs or your ears, your carnal mind, your five senses, which you can touch, taste, smell, and feel, and hear, and see, it's going through a filter. Is that filter the Word of God truth, or is that filter a lie from the enemy? And there's the crux right there. The kingdom of God is not about food or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. If you're rightly aligned in your thinking, peace and joy will attend you. When you open that piece of mail, you open that email, you look at that text, you have that conversation with somebody, your boss says whatever. If you're looking at that through your spirit man goggles, which is the truth, peace and joy will attend you. The truth will set you free in that particular moment, in that circumstance. You'll see it from God's point of view. You'll see it for what it is, the truth, and boom, no problem. You'll walk in it in peace. Or you're looking at it through your filters. The filters that probably got put onto you early in life when you didn't know better and your parents didn't know better. We are easily influenced by our parents, even just a spoken word or a look or body language, an unspoken word. Easy pickings for the enemy to present a thought to us. Our coaches, our teachers, of course, our phones, media, social media, that's a portal for a thought to come that's not of the truth. Sports is a big one. Competition, comparison. There's no comparison in the kingdom. We're all unique individuals, uniquely made. How can you compare two things that are different and unique? You can't. The spirit of competition, comparison, and performance, it's a huge thing in the Western world. And I could go on and on and on. I don't want to just beat a dead horse here, but make the point that we have filters on. We all do. Every single one of us does. Jesus was the only one that didn't. And so we have to learn to recognize that truth, that we have a soul, the enemy has access to the soul in our thinking. And if we don't take captive that thought and reject the lie and replace it with the truth, then we're under the influence of a thing that will create actions, attitudes, and behaviors that drive cortisol, fight or flight. And there's no self-help book. There's no think positive book. All those books only speak to the soul, the intellect, the emotions. That's in your soul. There's no way it can transform your heart. It's impossible. It doesn't have the power to do that. It only has the power to influence your intellect. The one thing that'll change your heart is the one who made you, your creator, and he put a spirit in you. And the spirit of truth that will lead you into all truth speaks to your spirit man. And that renewing of your mind is what transforms you. Scripture speaks to that. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And there's so many ways to do that, so many levels of that. There's just simple knowledge, first off, just the knowledge of God, the knowledge of his word, the knowledge of body, soul, spirit, the knowledge of an enemy, the knowledge of how the enemy is defeated but has access to us through our thinking. There's just foundational knowledge. Paul talks about in Hebrews, he came to tell the Hebrew folks, hey, I was going to feed you some meat, but we got to go back to the milk. Y'all are babies still. We're going to have to sip on milk for a little bit longer. You don't even know the elementary doctrines. He said, let us not go back and have to lay again these foundational things, these elementary doctrines of Christ. I encourage you to go read those. When I first read them, well, not first read them, but with this, once I was seeking the kingdom, reading it through the kingdom eyeballs, I was like, whoa, these are elementary? I don't even know these. The doctrines of baptisms, plural. I knew about one baptism, water baptism. John the Baptist said, I'm baptizing you with water, but there's one coming after me going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Okay, that's an elementary doctrine. I didn't know about it. When we're babes drinking milk, only went through the narrow gate, not maturing down the narrow path, then we can easily, easily put on goggles, filters of a lie. And then we gaze through these filters at our spouse, at our kids, at our coworkers, at our TV sets and our iPhones with our social media. We're looking at everything through the filters that we put on from the enemy. I mean, it's really pretty simple. It's not so simple to walk out, mainly because of distraction. I mean, God's word's right there. We're in America. We all have access to books, to the Bible. We have access to Bible apps. One of the best ones I've found, the Blue Letter. Let me look, pull it up real quick so I'll give you the accurate website. BlueLetterBible.org. You can put in any Bible verse. Look at the Greek. It's amazing. Go look at these words. I just did this today, actually. I was looking at that verse, the truth shall make you free. You know, that is often quoted, that verse, the truth shall make you free. And I wanted to go and see what does that word mean, make. And so I looked it up in Blue Letter Bible, and I actually went further upstream. Before that part of the verse, it says, if you continue in my word, then ye are disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So I could look up on Blue Letter Bible, the word continue. If ye continue, which means to abide, to dwell, to endure, be present, remain, stand, tarry in my word, dwell and abide in my word, then ye are disciples. The Greek word for that is mathetes, which means learner or pupil. Then ye are disciples or learner, pupil indeed, and ye shall know, which means resolved, be sure, understand the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's a lot deeper, at least for me. It really resonates more when I read those Greek words. If ye endure and dwell and abide in my word, then you are a student, you're a learner and a pupil indeed, and you shall know or be resolved in this truth, and it'll make you free. So it's a deeper, more intimate knowing that changes your heart, that sets you free, that the transforming, the renewing of your mind will transform the heart. So there's just so much in the word to dive into and dig into and to mature it into and to keep growing into. And to me, that's where it's at. That is the book that will transform your thinking and therefore impact your autopilot switch, keeping you out of fight or flight mode despite your circumstances. And anything else, it's not going to work. It's going to be in your own strength. And it's going to be fruitless, or it'll be temporary fruit. It's not going to last. It's not going to stay. And you're going to rev those RPMs right back up in your mitochondria. Everything we need for life and godliness is in that book. It's right there. We just have to go look at it with a heart for truth, a real earnest seeking of truth, a real desire to know Him more. And that can be difficult. I will admit, a lot of my patients, I would say almost probably all of them, are confessed to be believers in Jesus Christ. And they confess to me that they're confident about going to heaven. And as I press them a little bit more, I find that they're not quite as confident in some other things, what I would call kingdom concepts. You know, asking them questions such as, do you know what the gospel of the kingdom is? Or what's the difference between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of salvation? Or, I see that you've confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior, but what about Lord? Have you submitted to Him as your Lord? What does that mean to you? What does that word Lord mean? Are there other things in your life lording over you that you've given authority to, you've submitted to, especially in your thinking? It's a big one. I'll ask patients about understanding body, soul, spirit, and not many do. Or I'll ask them about the great mystery Paul talks about in Colossians, that Christ lives in us, this new creature. What's their understanding of this new creation? You know, what does that mean, and what are the implications of that? Spiritual law. God put spiritual laws into the earth, just like He did natural laws, law of aerodynamics and internal combustion, and law of buoyancy and density. So they're spiritual laws. Do we know about those? We need to, because they impact everything. As I mentioned before, our water, mitochondria, the cells, our organ, everything. The elementary doctrines I mentioned earlier, what's their understanding of that? Even the word church, ekklesia in the Greek, ekklesia, the called out ones, when Jesus used that word, what did He mean? Versus what most people think of when they hear that word today, church. Where'd that word actually come from? Where was the first time that word church in English was used? Versus ekklesia, is there a difference in that meaning? Because Jesus and the apostles used that word. What did they mean when they used that word? So there's a lot to pursue here that's way beyond just Jesus getting us to heaven. And I'm not minimizing that. But like I said, He came to restore that which was lost, which was relationship. So, and that needed the dealing with the sin issue. And obviously that had to happen. We can't be in the presence of the Lord if we're tainted, if there is sin that's still in play. So yes, Jesus had to wipe that away clean. He paid that price. He paid our debt. I explained to one of my kids the other day, it's like he got called to the principal's office and had a list of all the things he'd done wrong. And, or maybe a better would be in a courtroom, got called up to the judge's stand with this list of all the things, laws he'd broken, rules he'd broken. And all of a sudden, Jesus jumps up and takes that list out of my son's hand and puts a blank paper there. Jesus took it. He took everything, every thought we had, every thought of pride, lust, comparison, jealousy, hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, fill in the blank. Took it all away. Wiped it clean. Paid for it. It's huge. Huge deal. It's amazing, amazing thing He did. But He did it for a purpose. He did it for a reason, to restore us back to relationship for the here and the now. This isn't about just suffering through our earthly years. This is about taking back ground for the kingdom of God. David hit Goliath right between the eyes, right in his frontal lobe. And I think about that with the giants in your life. I encourage you, hit them in the frontal lobe, which is your thinker. That's where your thinking's at. Take down your giants by going after your thinking. The enemy has zero authority to do anything in this earth, and he's only able to do anything when he gets to your frontal lobe, your thinker, your seer, and he can infiltrate and interpret your circumstances for you, and he's lying to you. He is your interpreter in your soul, lying to you. You've got to recognize it, call it out, and you bring the sword, just like David, after he thumped Goliath between the eyeballs, right in the frontal lobe, and knocked him out. He got the sword and chopped his head off. The sword is the word of God. So you go after the frontal lobe, your thinking, and that lie, that filter from the lying adversary of the truth, the father of all lies, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what disease and sickness is. God doesn't put that on you. Jesus came to give life and give it more abundantly. Disease is from the devil, from the enemy, from the robber of life, the killer, the stealer, the destroyer. And it's rooted in thinking, almost always rooted in thinking. And I'm not minimizing physical things to work on. But the physical will have much less hold on you. Exercise profiteth a little bit, it says in Scripture. The kingdom of God is not about food and drink. Well, there's the three pillars right there: nutrition, hydration, and movement. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Right alignment with the truth in your thinking. So go after the frontal lobe. Get your thinker right. Deal with that liar and chop his head off with a sword, which is the word. The sword of truth. That's the word of God. Bring the word of truth to every situation, every circumstance in your life. And when your carnal mind, your five senses, brings all this quote-unquote evidence to you, look at the doctor's report, look at your bank account, look at the news, look at the world, look at what the president's doing, look at whatever, fill in the blank. I'm not denying that there's factual things that your five senses have seen. What I'm saying is there's something outside the carnal, outside the natural, outside the physical realm that can change and impact the physical realm. The Word of God tells us and teaches us this. Seek ye first the kingdom and all these things will be given unto you. That's my number one counsel. Go pray. Go start talking to God. Have a conversation with God just like he was your counselor sitting on the couch. Well, I don't know if you're really there, God. You're invisible, God. I don't know if I can trust you. Is the Bible real? Is 66 books really real? I thought 666 was the number of the beast, the Antichrist, and 66 books. That's weird. Didn't they corrupt the Bible? Weren't there 80 books? And whatever your thoughts are, whatever your questions are, talk to God about it. He will reveal himself. He will reveal truth. If you repent for pursuing other things besides him, guaranteed he's eager to reveal. He wants to reveal himself to you. You personally go after him and pursue him, and he will meet you. He will find you. You seek, you'll find him. And the truth will set you free. Okay, we're out of time. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. This is another episode of You're the Cure, archived at veritasmedical.com under the resource tab, podcast page, or on iTunes, You're the Cure. We'll be back next week with another great show. Thank you all for listening. See you next time.